of faith. Before we see the video this morning, just to kind of recap, over these last 5 weeks, we have been watching the Donovan family. Frank is the father, and at the very beginning, his belief is that everything that he has is because of his own hard work. He's earned it. And so he needs to use that to provide security for his family. Throughout the series, we see that Ray the gardener is an encourager, and he begins to soften Frank's heart. Seeds are planted in the beginning, and then, as we're going to see today, there is going to be a great harvest from those seeds that have been planted. Along the way, Frank realizes that he's not nearly as generous as he thinks he is, nor does he even look at people as creations of God, but way too often, just like we do from time to time, he looks at people as simply objects. And he also learns that, well, even though writing a check is a very good thing to do, it certainly does not solve all of life's problems. Especially last week when his wife was mugged, and there's really nothing at all that he can do to help her. If you would, find your sermon notes for this morning. You can fill in the blanks as we go. I will try not to talk too long today so I don't ruin the movie, which was quite good. You know, I grew up on a farm. I know a lot about sowing and reaping. There is one difference, however, between physical sowing and reaping and spiritual sowing and reaping. On the farm, we could only control so much. Planted the seeds, and certainly the Lord would send the sunshine, but he didn't always send the right amount. He didn't always send the right amount of rain. Sometimes there was drought. Sometimes there was floods. Sometimes there were bugs. Sometimes there was disease. So there would be crop failure from time to time, but it is completely different in the spiritual realm. In fact, there's no such thing as a spiritual crop failure. God promises here in our verse for today, a man reaps what he sows. And whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so it is a universal law that you eventually reap what you sow. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but eventually you will indeed reap what you sow. And we know from just regular life, if I had some flower seeds here, I have a nice little pack of zinnias. If I plant zinnias, what will I get in return? Zinnias. Every single time. And these zinnias, they're going to grow about 18 inches according to the packet. But if I plant sunflower seeds, then I'll get sunflowers. And they can grow 8 or 10 or even taller than that. We get what we sow. If you want to fill in your blanks, you can really put in anything that you like here, but if you plant onions, you're not going to get roses. It just doesn't work that way. If you plant apples, you're going to get apples. And if you plant Jonathan apples, you're going to get Jonathan apples. If you plant Red Delicious, you're going to get Red Delicious. So also in the spiritual realm, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. You could probably name them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And we know that if you plant kindness, eventually you will get what? Kindness. That's the way that it works in God's economy. Whatever you do to others eventually comes back to you. Not to belabor the point, but I have written a number of examples from the Old Testament. We could have hundreds more, I suppose. Think about it for a moment. What do you know about Jacob? Does anybody remember from the Old Testament, maybe from your Sunday school lessons, what does the name Jacob even mean? What was he known for? What was his reputation? He's a liar. He's a deceiver. That's what his name means. Now remember that Jacob and Esau were brothers and they were the sons of Isaac. Does anybody remember who the favorite was? You always remember who the favorite was if it's it's Esau. They're brothers. Jacob's not the favorite. rather Esau. So if you're not the favorite, what do? You always want to try and win the affection of your parents. Jacob's no different, but he does it through deception. And so when Esau is out trying to rustle up some game for his father, Jacob puts on the goat skin and has his mother make some venison or something like that for his father, and he deceives him, and he receives the blessing. But you've heard that old saying, what goes around does what? Comes around. It's no different. You reap what you sow. And later on, Jacob's sons, they deceive their father because the favorite, Joseph, is really annoying them. They sell him into slavery, and they deceive their father into believing that he's dead. And we can go down the line. Pharaoh, he drowns the little boy babies of Israel. And then, later on in life, when one of those little boy babies named Moses grows up, what happens to Pharaoh's army? They're drowned in the Red Sea. Now, here's one that you probably don't remember. If you do, you get extra credit points. Anybody recognize Adonibezek from the book of Judges, first chapter? A Canaanite king. He has this terrible, malicious habit that whenever he conquered another king, and he conquered 70 of them, he would cut off their thumbs and their big toes. What do you suppose happened to Adonibezek when he was captured? Exactly the same thing. They cut off his thumbs and his big toes. What goes around comes around. Haman, we remember him. He had built some gallows, the hanging noose for Mordecai. And yet, who is it that ends up getting hanged? It's Haman. You will eventually reap what you sow. Now, here's the point of all of this. Read there again from Galatians chapter 6. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We have a choice, don't we? Especially as a people of God, we can either sow for the flesh, or we can sow for the Spirit. Now, if you take a look at all of these names down here, there are three of them that are alike, and there is one that is different. Which one do you suppose is different? Remember in kindergarten when you had those puzzles? One of these is not alike? Which one is it? It's Jacob, because he is a believer. He repents. He turns from the ways of the flesh to the way of the Spirit. The good news for all of us is, even though there is this warning that Paul gives to all of God's people, that eventually if you continue to sow in the flesh, there will be eternal destruction. But the good news for all of us, and we're reminded again in Lent, is that God is a God of love and mercy and second chances. The good news for all of us is that he has already planted a new seed in us. It's called faith. We receive that, for most of us, at our baptism, or when the Spirit changed our heart, because after all, that is what God truly wants. It's our heart. And now, as we sow those same seeds of love and joy and peace and kindness, there will be a harvest of those very same things. Let's turn over our notes and take a look. We know that eventually, as we plant those good seeds, those seeds of the Spirit, that there will be a harvest. But reality says that it doesn't necessarily happen immediately. How does the old saying go? No good deed goes what? Unpunished. You ever have that happen to you? Do something nice to somebody and all you get is grief for your trouble. People don't appreciate what you do for them. It is easy to get discouraged, isn't it? When there are not immediate fruit or results. But here's the good news again. There is a harvest coming. It is inevitable in God's economy that when these good seeds are sown, they will produce a harvest. Remember in the video, if you've been here for the entire 5 weeks, at the very beginning, Frank's heart is hard. He doesn't view people as the creatures of God. They're just objects. They're pawns. They're things to be used. And yet at the end, he sees people in a whole new light, and he provides an opportunity. And yes, your intuition is correct. He is the one who has provided the opportunities for those at the homeless shelter, not only to have that shelter renovated, but he offers those people jobs as well. There is a harvest, maybe not immediately, but eventually there is always a harvest. It's just that it may not be ours to reap. Another example, how many of you know the name Edward Kimball? Anybody ever hear the word or the name of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. Has anybody ever heard the name Billy Graham? Heard that one? A little more familiar? One of the great evangelists who has witnessed and has, through the Word of God, changed millions of hearts. Well, Edward Kimball was not Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher. Edward Kimball was D.L. Moody's Sunday school teacher. And D.L. Moody went to England, where he witnessed to a man who would eventually become a pastor by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer witnessed to a college student by the name of Wilbur Chapman, who then went to work for D.L. Moody, who then hired an assistant by the name of Billy Sunday, who also became an evangelist. And then he held a tent meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he invited another evangelist by the name of Mordecai Ham, who finally preached to Billy Graham. 7 people removed. So often we think that what we do makes no difference, that there is no impact. But it's very much like if you throw a stone into the pond. If you only watch the stone as it sinks down to the bottom and then goes into the muck and the mire, it's not very impressive. But if you look at that surface where the ripples continue to escalate out, what a difference that little stone can make. So often in the church we think, well, my little act of kindness is not going to make any difference. My gift of service won't change a thing. Or who am I? I'm just a lay person. My gift won't matter. But here's the point. Every seed planted matters. Every seed that is planted is going to make a difference. But there will be no harvest if we do not sow. I can't get any zinnias if I don't take the seeds out of the package and sow them. And in God's economy, every seed planted is going to produce 30 or 60 or 100-fold. God is the one who blesses that seed to produce the harvest. There will be no harvest if we do not sow, and the sooner the seeds are planted, the quicker they will be harvested. There in the bottom of your notes, there are 3 things that are possible next steps. One is to memorize this axiom from the Bible that we reap what we sow. Another is, there is this event coming up called Easter in a couple of weeks. At the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to receive one of these door hangers. We have packaged them in groups of 10. Whether you use one of these or 5 of these or 10 of these or 100 of these are seeds that are to be planted, and they can produce an abundant harvest. But if we don't plant them, there will be no harvest. And another challenge that I would offer as well, on April the 12th, we are coming together as the people of God, as a church. on Commitment Sunday or City on a Hill. It makes no difference whether when you receive that commitment card in the mail in a week or two, as you pray over it, that you decide that you're going to give $100 or $1,000 or $100,000. Whatever you decide, that is a seed that you are going to plant. And the sooner that we commit, the more seeds that are planted, the sooner the harvest is reaped. I pray that each of us will be like Frank, and that we'll want to take a risk, knowing that all of those seeds have come from God, and that He is the one who's going to bless them. A city on a hill is not so much about buildings and structure, but it's about the people that the light of Christ will reach. It's all about the darkness that will be chased away in this community because the light of Christ fills their heart. It's all about the seeds that are going to be planted today so that they can be harvested tomorrow. May God grant an abundant harvest.